If you'd like to go to coasttocoastam.com and see who I am, you can do that under the highlights. Meet Connie Willis. Yay! That picture, it's funny. I, the photographer makes you do all these things, and at one point you have an itch or you're fixing your collar, and that's when they shoot you, and that's the one that's best out of all of them. So there you go. That's just the way it is. So coasttocoastam.com, really cool. Got some neat things going on, too. I looked down here below some upcoming shows. It's always fun when you know the person that's going to be on. Looks like Nori on Friday, a friend of mine, Joshua P. Warren, he and I both are into the radionics and the wishing machine, so that's going to be interesting. And, tomorrow night we've got Air Force and UFOs. I love that because my oldest brother was in the Air Force, so every now and then he might sneak a little bit of info to me. I think he knows more than he's saying. But always, Coast to Coast AM, check that out on .com because there's some really, really good stuff in there, and it keeps you up to date on what's happening, too. What we're doing tonight is we're talking to Archbishop James Long. He is an exorcist, and we left off at the stages of an exorcism. So we're going to find out what the rest of those are right now. And also, we're going to find out, too, if Lucifer, Satan, and the devil are the same entity. Coast to Coast AM. Thanks for listening. Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here with Bishop James Long talking about exorcisms. And we are also right now into the stages of exorcism. We talked about there's seven of them. Presence, pretense, breakthrough, the voice, and we are about to talk about the clash. Tell me about the clash, James. What is that? And then I want to know if Lucifer, Satan, and the devil are the same. But let's go to the clash.
Well, okay, so at this time, the clash, the priest is provoking the demonic entity. And by provoking, I mean we use sacramentals of the church to provoke the demonic entity, to weaken the demonic. And by now, at this point, we've commanded the demonic entity out of the body several times. And if we've not succeeded, this time we're going to have to use to expel the information about the demon, more importantly, its name. So this is where it's the demanding of its name. And that's important. And people throw around demonic entity names like it's nothing. Well, let me tell you why that's a bad idea. Hey, Connie.
Yes.
That's why.
I see, because they answer.
Yes. So
that was good. That was very good, James.
Thanks.
That was very good. You demonstrated that perfectly. So,
yeah. Well, once you have the name, then you also begin to have the control, the mm-hmm. identity, and that's what it doesn't want to give up. And then at this time, you have the explosion stage, and here at this time, the intellect and the will of the demonic entity versus the exorcist, at this time, one is going to be eradicated. And the demonic entity will often bring up sins of the priest or assistants. It becomes very violent, very foul words, the constant prayer. And this is why, I've been offered many TV jobs, many shows, and people said, if you just perform an exorcism on camera for us.
Oh, yes. I know that about you. I've pitched a few shows myself with you being a part of that, and I had to make sure that I let people know that you wouldn't do that. You made sure of that with me, and I understand totally why. I get it because I've heard it from you over and over and over and over again, but tell people why you do not want video cameras in there when you're performing an exorcist.
Well, there's two reasons.
Exorcism.
First of all, it's dangerous. Every single person who is in that room must be actively engaged in prayer. There's no such thing as a bystander during an exorcism. That's absurd. That really is absurd. So now here I am. I'm having to worry about this person who is possessed, and I have to focus on the rite itself. And then I have to worry about the people behind me, the crew, who are filming. And it's just the idea of it existing is just completely and totally absurd. It just doesn't exist. But even more importantly than that, far more important than that, is there are things that the person will do, the possessed will do, and I think it is completely unethical and just immoral to the highest standards to then plaster that all over world TV. So then when this person has been relieved of this demonic possession. Now they and their whole entire family, completely embarrassed about what they see. I've seen a person consume excrement. Now, I'm not going to post this. It's a very religious. It's.
You know, James, that's a horrible thing that you say, but I think there's even video of that on YouTube. Just anyway, that's something else, I guess. I think I remember seeing something viral like that, but that wasn't possession you're talking about. So, yeah, well, I would think, too, that the family themselves would be embarrassed because, first of all, they don't want to tell anybody that this is going on because everybody's going to think you're absolutely crazy and this is not real. But then if you're the one possessed and you see this later on video somewhere, you don't know.
You don't want to relive that. I mean, I'm just thinking about my own family members. I would never want my family member who was under that stage of possession reliving this activity over and all over world TV. That to me is so completely unethical. I've been offered shows. I've been offered TV shows. If I just do it, and then I tell the producers, if you would just go to church, maybe then you would never, ever, ever report to me again by tempting me with some type of ridiculous show to plaster all over world TV to embarrass this human being. Shame.
Well, there's a lot of other people that claim that they are an exorcist and they're taking the cameras in.
Well, and that's shameful. It really is. That to me, because it is a, that is, what's next? You know, cameras in confessional?
Ooh. I mean, oh, don't even throw that out there. That sounds like a hit show right there. You better be careful. I don't know. You should get a commission off of that one. Let me ask this. Lucifer, Satan, the devil, same entity?
Well, let me just say this. That wait, you're being tempted. That's ordinary demonic activity. That's ordinary demonic activity, temptation. So watch it now.
That TV show you're talking about?
Oh, yeah, the TV show. Believe me, I'm sure some producers are thinking, oh, this is a good one.
I'm telling you, we're going to be seeing that soon. Hey, at least, you know, we get some sort of commission, and you can take some of that to the church. I might go on a trip or so. But so Lucifer, Satan, the devil, same entity?
It is. Now, there are some theologians who argue, no, it's not. Well, Lucifer refers to his angel self, and Lucifer actually means light, because he was the most powerful of all the angels, which is rather ironic. And the devil refers to his evil being, his existence. And Satan refers to the concept that he is evil. You know, the Bible actually says the devil and Satan are the same. It says that in Revelation 12:9. And now, Lucifer, which is interesting, is mentioned in Isaiah. And actually it occurs once in the Hebrew Bible, which is pretty fascinating. So, and it mentions, you know, how you are fallen from heavens, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who are weak in the nations. So, again, all three really are the same, but Lucifer, again, refers to the angel self. Devil refers to his evil being, his existence. And of course, Satan refers to the concept that he is evil.
Lucifer, Satan, the devil, and I know there's a whole bunch of other names, too,
oh, sure.
For sure. Well, yeah. Well, you know, I've heard stories just because of knowing you and working with you along the way that life as an exorcist is kind of a crazy thing. And if I can mention something and you can kind of go from there, I remember two stories you told me. I remember, first of all, that in the trunk of your car, you keep a fan if you end up sleeping anywhere else.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can tell the story of why a fan, and then I want to hear if you can tell that story of, I remember that you had something wrong with your car with all four tires.
Well, one of the things that, and this is one of the things that I alluded to in the first hour, is that it truly is dangerous to get involved in this field, because exorcists, and certainly, you know, in demonologists as well, will be under the stage of oppression. And again, when you're dealing with infestation, you hear the bangings, the smell or religious objects are desecrated. The oppression is when it begins to interact and try to attack the victim, breaking down the intellect and will. So exorcists and demonologists remain under the stage of oppression. And it is a constant. And certainly exorcists, it really is a just constant attack. time. All the time.
So you are like walking around, hanging out at the park, eating a Big Mac, whatever you're doing, trying to sleep, and you're hearing weird noises and scratches and things like other people might?
There will be absolute smells that will come from nowhere. Again, if you're at the park and you're trying to have lunch or whatever it might be, it's always a distraction or even a job. You know, with our church community, our priests are working priests. So in other words, we don't get a stipend. We don't get paychecks. We don't get, you know, retirement funds. We don't get the cars or insurance. We get nothing. Everything that we make, all the funds that we make, it funds our church, our ministry. So we fund our church, our ministry through our own pocketbook.
Right.
And what will happen is oppression is it will affect every single opportunity of you trying to find employment so that you can continue your ministry. I mean, really, it's every day. It gets to a point where you have to say, really? Seriously? For example, there was a job, a very high paying job that I was applied for, and the director said, listen, what's your credentials? Get here, and if you just get here, then we'll make it a formal position for you. And so I went out. I was very excited, got everything ready, got the resume ready, was told, it's all, but he said, you got to be here. You have to be here. If you're not here, then I have to interview someone else for the position, period. Got outside, all four tires of my car were completely flat. Now, I'm thinking, all right, this is a little frustrating. Some kid probably, playing a prank or whatever. Well, the problem was is when I called AAA and they came over and they looked at the tires, every single one of those tires had actually been slashed. And the slash was where the tire meets the pavement. So something literally had to, I guess someone could have lifted it up and then slashed the tires and put it back down, I guess. Theoretically, I don't know how that would be possible. But literally all flat tires were slashed where the tire meets the pavement. Things like that happen.
Wow.
All the time.
Wow. You can't write that. You cannot write that in a script and people believe that.
The AAA person could not understand. He had no clue how in the world that he said, I've never seen this in my entire life. Never.
I hope you had the white collar on when he did that so he could be, like, okay, I believe you. You cannot tell a lie. Now, did I miss it, or did you say what the fan was? Because if I remember correctly, and maybe I just zoned out listening to something else and thinking about something else you were saying, but the fan, I remember you said that you would have to sleep with a fan on because it's the only way that you could try to drown out the screams and the moans and the things that you hear that they're constantly trying to talk with you.
Is it constantly affecting my sleep? I bless the house all the time. I'm blessing the house with incense, with holy water, with relics. So I'm constantly, my house is, the interior of my house and exterior as far as I can is blessed. But the problem is on the outside, I live in an apartment complex. And so the problem is outside of it, I don't really have much control. And I sleep with an industrial fan. And one of those great big huge monster fans, because I've heard some pretty terrible screams in the middle of the night. My dog's yelping. I mean, just in pain, like someone was truly just hurting them. And I'd wake up and startled, and they're just sleeping completely sound. There have been times where I've heard screaming outside my window. My dogs have both woken up and just went crazy, just absent. So they've heard it. There was a time where I was in my house and we have this big mirror, and it sounded like someone had picked this 5-foot mirror up and slammed it on the ground and shattering it everywhere. And I have a friend of mine who is my roommate. We ran out there and nothing. The mirror was there. We both heard it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was just over. Just crazy stuff like that happens all the time.
And you're okay with this, this is your calling, this is how you want to live your life, and then you go and you see scary movies, you deal with Ouija boards and tarot cards, and you even read books, and so you're constantly in this. Talk about obsession. Speaking of that, you were talking about a book that you just, you were like, I got, most people want to talk about their books. You want to talk about somebody else's book because that's kind of different. But it's because you believe that this is so, so real that you want to tell people about it. I think it's called Dark Siege.
Yes, please. If people want to read a book that you cannot put down, I have my mind goes so fast, and I'm constantly thinking about this issue. But this book captured my attention. My God, I couldn't put it down. And then I contacted the author and said, you got to tell me what happens. What happened next? Well, I need to know what happened next. And so there was a sequel. The book is called Dark Siege, and it's a Connecticut family's nightmare. And it's Dark Siege. Siege is S-I-E-G-E. So all one word, darksiege.com. That's where you can get the book. And my God, has this author captured what true demonic infestation, oppression, and possession looks like. I have read very few books that give me, I have goosebumps on my arm right now because it brought back so many memories of the 27 exorcisms that I performed that when I read this book, it takes your breath away. And then, of course, there is a sequel to it, which is called The Nightmare Returns, which, again, now, if you want to read a book about incubus and succubus, which is very intense.
Yeah, what is that all about? Tell me, what? Oh. Hello, you're saying this is the worst of the worst. Okay, first of all, if you endorse some sort of book to be scary and crazy when you live this 24/7, okay, yeah, There's a great endorsement. But what is all this other stuff? What?
Well, when you're dealing with an incubus and succubus, what it will do often is it will, for example, it will go to the victim and it will be the sexual in nature, pleasurable. And so the person does not denounce it immediately. It continues to welcome the activity. The problem is once the person says that's enough, because it begins to get aggressive and it begins to interact with the sleep, and the person says stop, that's it, then it begins to show its identity. And it will attack the individual to a point on a sexual nature, to a point where it is so violent. I had a case. She was a 68-year-old woman. She was like your grandma. I mean, she was just the sweetest person I have ever met in my life. I loved her to death. And she dealt with an incubus case, and she described them as bedwalkers, like three small dogs creeping up to her.
Ugh.
And she was actually in the hospital, in emergency care, in ICU, intensive care, when I got involved with the case, because the demonic entity actually ripped her private area and her anal area. So it completely ripped them. And she was in very intense. It was because a demonic entity, what will do with incubus is it will manipulate the muscles. And it will contrast so severe that the muscles and skin will actually break. She described it as being a plunger. It was terrible, Connie. I mean,
see anything or did just feel it?
Oh, yeah. She saw that. She saw the black mist. She would hear it speak its name, names, calling her names. And it was so violent. She was going to church one time, and she described it as something pinched her so violently in her private area, she crashed her car. And that was it. She no longer could drive. I mean, because it was just that violent.
Hmm.
And I tell you, The Dark Siege, The Nightmare Returns, that sequel, it captures what incubus, what a victim goes through, and it will break your heart. I mean, it's just.
So tell me quickly, because we only have a couple minutes here before the break. Can you just tell me the very, very, very worst thing you've ever seen that just blew your mind away or scared you more than anything? Oh, you know what? Hey, you're going to have to tell me when we get back, okay? There's a cliffhanger for you. Connie Willis along with Bishop James Long, and we are talking about exorcism from a real exorcist on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, everybody. It is in Philly that I'm broadcasting to you tonight. It's a nice night out there, cool, windy, good kind of weather for little scary stories. And that's what we're doing with Bishop James Long. He's an exorcist, a real exorcist, And when we come back with him, we're going to be talking about what he thought was the scariest thing with his 27 different exorcisms, real authentic exorcisms that he had. We are broadcasting live from the iHeart Media Studios in Philadelphia. Philly cheesesteaks on the way, I'm told. I haven't seen them yet, and I'm ready for them. I can tell you that much. I do want to thank all the people here that have been so wonderful to me as well. I'm telling you, it's been wonderful. It's been a great night so far. We still got more to come. We're going to be taking phone calls next hour, so you can talk to the bishop yourself. But I want to thank with Premier Network, Julie Talbot, Bill May, Lisa Lyon, George Norrie himself, Gina Salavati, who, by the way, will be, she'll be working with me here next hour. She's the one that's going to be taking your phone calls for us. Tim Lex, Tim Banal, Chris Bonos, Nathan, too, and, wow, Brian also working the board for me, too. I just want to be able to make sure I say thank you before it gets too crazy here when these phone calls come up. So, Bishop James Long about to tell us something really scary out of all the 27 exorcisms he's had. That's coming up here on Coast to Coast AM. You are listening to Coast AM. This is Connie Willis, and we are with Bishop James Long. Bishop, 27 exorcisms. You are the exorcist. Tell me, what was the scariest, most unbelievable thing, before we get into the other stuff, that you ever encountered?
You know, I think the scariest, I think the thing that takes your breath away is every time you truly walk into a room where someone is violently possessed and the demonic will look at you, and there's that connection. I think that's always, you never really get used to that. Often, whether it be, you know, the growling or the laughing and the multiple pitches at the same time. So you got to understand that. That's it's something that the eyes turning complete solid black.
Mm.
Those are the things that you see the things, what it does to the body, and you're very concerned about maintaining the healthy body. But I think it's the psychological aspects, what the demonic will try to do, is what can easily throw someone who's not properly trained off.
Oh, sure.
And those are the things. So mimicking the voice of deceased loved ones, and laughing at that.
When you say their eyes are black, the pupils just go crazy out, and then there's no white, no color, nothing, just black.
During the transition of possession, usually the eyes will roll back in the head, and there is solid whites, and the eyelids are closed, and the eyelids are lifted again, and as they're lifted, it's just solid black. There's just nothing there. I mean, it's such a blackness, you see your own reflection.
Oh, my. Have you ever seen, like, I guess, you know, I'm thinking of different TV shows and movies where something is written on their skin from the inside out?
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Pretty typical, yeah. Huh?
Markings of the body. Usually it's always an attack of the Trinity of, you know. And so it's just the scarring of the body. It's a destruction of the body because, you know, the body can only withstand so much. And so you'll see carvings, scratches that that the person could not possibly do themselves. But you understand, when you're performing an exorcism, we require psychological evaluation. You never, and that's one of the things that's a very serious that people need to know, is that there are people who are performing exorcisms on individuals without having a psychological evaluation performed on this individual.
That's right, what, right. How do you know the difference if they're mental or possessed?
Well, first of all, you easily can tell, because the person who is not mentally ill will not be able to, they will not know your sins. They will not be able to mimic the voice of deceased loved ones. They cannot scream in multiple pitches of 7 or more, 3 or more, 10 or more. So that they cannot levitate the tongue. The lashing, I've seen the lashing of a tongue where it looked almost reptilian.
Ooh.
It was just such a distortion of the face that was so completely unnatural. You see these things, and you know that's clearly not a psychological issue. However, that's why a psychological evaluation has to be done. You know, you perform an exorcism on someone with dissociative personality disorder, which is multiple personality, then you create another personality. And or someone who's paranoid schizophrenia, or schizophrenic, and you perform an exorcism on them, you put them in a paranoid state, and they can commit suicide.
You know, I tell you, the more, you know, I like to investigate and learn about all the different pieces of the puzzle when it comes to any strange anomalies along the way. And I know, like, you study demonology and the exorcism and the possession thing, and other people study, you know, like Dr. David Jacobs, the ETs and the abductions. And then I know other people, Bigfoot, other people, you know, it goes on and on and on. And I got to tell you, the more I try my best to connect the dots, the more you learn about being almost like a jack of all trades, you do see how all these connect. I mean, like you're describing things that people would describe as an ET, as an extraterrestrial, you know, the black eyes, the incubus and all that kind of stuff also goes in line with abductions and the hybridization project of collecting sperm and all that kind of stuff. It just goes on and on how these things connect. And anyway, that would be a long discussion without a doubt. And I want to kind of slide off to something. And that is, if it's okay to go ahead and do this, because we could talk forever about things before we take phone calls, I want to know where God fits into all of this. Let's get away from the demonic stuff for a while, and let's talk, because I know you're open enough to talk about extraterrestrials. I know you're open enough to talk about abductions and lights in the sky. So where does that fit in the Bible? Does it talk about that there? And where's God in this? It doesn't make sense.
Well, it's fascinating because there's a lot of people who say, well, you know, I don't believe in alien life and that kind of stuff. But here's what's fascinating. Listen to these statistics, okay? Are you ready for this? It's going to blow your mind.
Okay.
Just imagine in our solar system alone, in our little tiny titty speck in the universe, just a little tiny speck. If you go as fast as the shuttle goes, which is 28,000 miles per hour, do you realize that in order to get it to Pluto, it would take you 15 years? Now imagine 28,000 miles per hour. It would still take you 15 years to get there.
Okay.
In Neptune, 11 years. Saturn, of course, 3 years. Jupiter, almost 2 years. Mars, at 28,000 miles per hour, it would take you 210 days.
Yeah. Where are you
the
going?
The point that
where
I'm making is it is so enormous. The universe is so enormous.
Yes.
And galaxies and Milky Ways. It's a bit absurd to think that we are the only life form that exists in this universe.
Right.
So let me just say that. Now, in saying that, I believe alien life form and demonic entities are two different things.
Yes.
And here's why. Demonic entities, the sole purpose is to hurt God by possessing and hurting the ones he loves the most. Now, alien life, I believe, certainly does exist, and there's just too much evidence. There's just too much credible evidence from so many people that clearly demonstrate that there's something going on with the alien life. But what I don't like about the alien life, as far as I believe, is reptilians are the ones that are believed to do a lot of the medical experiments.
Well, and you know, and you got to keep in mind, too, it's all theory, right? I mean, we can say over and over again what we think it is, and everybody, bottom line, it's really theory.
It is, but it seems like a lot of the stories, because I have some friends, Willie Windwalker, he's a shaman.
Willie's
a great man, great man. And he knows a lot about, you know, alien life and abductions and things of this nature. And it seems that when you're talking about grays versus the reptilians, it appears that there's a lot more reports of reptilians are the ones that do the medical experiments. At least that's the reports. And what I don't like about that is, if that is the case, then they're evil. Plain and simple. Because they violate your free will by coming down and forcing you and removing you from your home without your consent and performing these terrible things. That is a violation of your free will, and they are just as vile as a demonic entity.
Yeah, they're not asking permission.
Absolutely not. So therefore, that's evil.
Though, James, just so you may uncover this at one point, which I have recently, and that is that people that have been taken, they have actually at one point somewhere along the line signed a contract that allowed them to do that. I mean, hey, I'm just telling you the different stories out there. Apparently, you've signed a contract to be taken. It's okay. You can do this, this, and this. And then you have forgotten that you've signed it, so they continue on and sometimes break the little treaties they've signed with you. Anyway, that's a whole nother world, and maybe you've never heard of that, but there's something else to add to that. But when it comes to God and you're saying, hey, this is going against your free will, you're, and especially if you're talking about the hybridization project where they take you, beam you up, do sexual things to you for whatever reason that they do, and then send you back down. Hey, that's rape.
Well, yeah, it's evil. It really is pure evil. But let me just say something. Just by the incubus and succubus. There are some people that absolutely do not want the activity to stop, and they want to welcome it and continue it until it becomes very violent. But one thing that I think is so important to note is that, you know, people say, well, this is just ridiculous. There's just too much evidence. There's just too much evidence that clearly states that there's something going on. And I think when we look at the whole aspect of it,
Well, you got the Pope talking about it, right? And you also have different, I know there's things in the Bible that speak to what people believe are UFOs in the sky coming down and Ezekiel, things like that.
Yeah, Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 1 through 28, where it talks about Ezekiel, he looked and the stormy wind came out of the north and brightness around it and fire flashing forth continued, that it was a metal, it was a gleaming metal. And so a lot of people say, well, that's a clear definition, clear example of how, in fact, that has to be an alien life form. But you know, one thing that I was going to say that, you know, when we're talking about reptilians taking people against their will and doing terrible things, experimentation on us, if people believe that, which I believe, again, there's just too much evidence to just throw it out. Well, you know, I hate to say this, and it's going to make some people mad, but human beings have been doing this for years. For years. We have taken animals. And we have done absolute terrible things to animals with animal experimentation, all for the sake of, can we get the best cologne, the best perfume, and spraying it in animals' eyes and under and their skin, under their coats. We've done some things that absolutely are truly barbaric to animals. And so it's not so far-fetched to think that an alien life who comes to this planet would do the same to us.
Hey, I grew up watching Doctari. I think that's what they're doing. They're coming down here, boom, putting a little implant in you, following you around, learning about you, just like Doctari, right?
They better not be putting implants in me. My God, I've got enough health issues.
Why wouldn't they chase you around? You've got an interesting life with all this crazy stuff going on. Let me ask you about, psychics. I believe psychics are real. I mean, but the Bible talks differently about that. And what about Ouija boards and seances and tarot cards? What do you think about that through the eyes of God?
Well, first of all, you got to be very careful about those Ouija boards. I just don't play with them at all. Because, again, they're not magical, but you use them with the intent to make contact with a spirit whose identity you don't know. This is what's amazing to me. We tell children all the time, don't talk to strangers, because there could be serious consequences for it. Paranormal investigators do it all the time. If you're here, talk to us. If you're here, tell me your name. If you're here, push me. Really? Seriously? You don't know the identity of who you're speaking to, and yet you're having a conversation with this entity that could have serious long-term consequences.
Oh, my gosh. And I guess you can probably give a great example with the guys on the show. Is it Ghost Adventures? Who are the guys on Travel Channel?
Zach, yeah. I've talked to Zach a
long time. Yeah. Wow, they do everything to provoke.
they do, Connie, but do you know what? I talked to Zach, and I applaud him, because one thing that he has done is he has went public about what he has dealt with personally in his
life.
And that was very private. He wasn't divulging that information. But
what did he deal with?
Oh, my dear Lord. That guy had some real heavy stuff occurring in his home. Well, he had, of course, you know, his girlfriend, and dealing with severe attacks and being pushed and hit and punched, thrown out of bed. I mean, there are some things that I don't go into because I worked with him on that.
Sure.
They're more intense than that.
How is he now? How's he doing now?
You know, he's doing better, but there's, you know, he continues. He truly believes this is his mission. He believes that he wants to expose this is what happens, and these are the consequences of doing this kind of stuff. And I want people to know about them. And so he's very strong, very passionate about that. And I respect the passion, but unfortunately, it comes at a great cost. And as far as Deuteronomy, about going to psychics, I think it seems like every paranormal group now has a psychic.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is very troubling. I don't buy it. Everybody is a psychic now. And I met people who were truly, genuinely gifted people. No question about it. They've worked with police and dealing with, and you don't hear about them. And they're truly, absolutely, Willie Windwalker. He's a shaman. He's a very, very gifted, truly gifted. But, you know, when you're talking about Deuteronomy 18, chapter 10, verses 11, 10 through 11, it talks about the necromancy and things of this nature. And what was talking about, in essence, is not being able to summon the deceased for the sole purpose of gaining control for future knowledge.
And okay.
But there are psychics there are people who I do believe prey, or there are people who claim they're psychics who prey on people's losses and suffering for the sole purpose of gaining financial gain. There's a group called Spirit Light in Florida. Reverend One Eagle and Reverend Diane Frazier, who I just genuinely love. They've helped a lot of people, and I believe they are truly gifted. But there are very few, you know, there are very few people who I would really say, yeah, there's no question. I've seen it, I've witnessed it, and I believe they're gifted individuals.
Well, you know what? When you remind me of something that you know, when psychics do help police find missing children or missing people, you know, whatever they're looking for, remote viewers do the same. And there is a difference between psychics and remote viewers, but either way, you know, you got to be careful, because if you go to the police and say, hey, I've got some answers for you. I think we can find this person, or I think we can, you know, I can help you here. You got to be careful, because when you start throwing out evidence that you know psychically or through remote viewing, then they look at you. And this is what psychics and remote viewers have to deal with, because they really want to help. But then if they're extraordinarily well, you know, if they're that good and they come up with evidence, the police officers look at them like, how do you know this? Only the person that could have done this would know this. And so that's a scary thing, too. Then all of a sudden, you know, they're thinking that you may be involved. What do you think of that?
It is true. And I've spoken to people who are genuinely psychic who worked on police cases, and that was a concern. However, now they've developed a rapport with the police department. And quite honestly, they have such a strong, solid reputation, and they can clearly establish that they didn't even know, had any contact with this individual who might have had something horrible done to them.
That's good, but the first time you have to be careful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to be careful.
First time is going to be a doozy, right? Yikes.
Yeah.
Substantiate where you were. Get your alibi first, and then go to them.
That's
so,
it.
but what about the tarot cards? What about tarot cards?
It's the same thing. Yeah. People, when you're using any type of divination tool for the sole purpose of making contact with a spirit or anything of this nature, you got to be very careful about it. Same thing for EVPs, digital recorders, when they do EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, and you know they're able to pick up voices. But there are now digital recorders where you can hear the EVP live as it occurs.
Oh yeah, that is scary stuff. And you know what? We're going to talk more about that. Actually, we're going to take your questions for Bishop James Long next hour. You can ask him anything you want. Well, you know, we'll see if he'll answer or not. I'm Connie Willis with Bishop James Long, and this is Coast to Coast AM.